We know the world is broken. I'm not going to enumerate a whole bunch, but I'm going to mention a few. El Paso, Las Vegas, Orlando, Parkland, all those places where multiple people were shot. The world's broken. Okay? We think about things like that. We think about the fact that North Korea's got nuclear weapons. Iran's got nuclear weapons. The people in charge, they're broke. Okay? They're broke. Nations like Syria are killing their own people. The world's broke. We know the system's broke. Think about this. We have a lack of ability, even in our own Democratic Republic. We can't have civil conversations anymore whenever we disagree on certain issues without finding a way to demonize the people who simply disagree with us. We have to vilify. We have to do whatever we can to tear them down just because we differ on a particular issue or subject. The world's broken. The system's broken. Police. They're abusing people. People are abusing the police. People are throwing water on police when they're trying to do their job of protecting people. People are throwing buckets at people who are trying to do their job of policing those who rightfully need to be dealt with, who need to be arrested in order to protect the rest of the neighborhood. The inversion of what is morally appropriate so that people who have a godly conscience are vilified and made to be the bad guys. Whereas, on the other hand, the people who have no conscience at all are being held up as being those who are examples for the culture. Now, as we came into the world, we had to eventually face the fact that those people that we trusted and we loved the most were also broken. Have you, in your upbringing, come to the reality that though you love those who were your parents, your family, brothers and sisters, you found out one day they weren't perfect? They were just as broken as everybody else. They have problems. They have habits. They have sins. We're broken. And the fact is, after a while, whenever we started to think about all these things, when we looked in the mirror, we ourselves realized, I'm broken. I'm messed up. I keep doing things I don't want to do. I don't do things that I do know that I want to do. And the reason why I keep being frustrated, we keep wondering when will things ever get better, is because we're messed up. Why is there such dysfunction? We know that God is on a throne and He is sovereign and He is good and He is in charge, but there's such dysfunction everywhere, in every aspect. Why are we so messed up? Why is the world so messed up? Well, the answer is pretty simple. It's found in a man named Adam, the first Adam, the one that we find out about in Genesis. But I want to read a passage about this guy. It's not in Genesis. It is in Romans chapter 5. It's when Paul is describing for us and framing for us the situation that we find ourselves in here in this world. And yes, we are continually talking about what we find when we talk about our hearts. We need a new heart. And we were singing about being ransomed and restored, and that's certainly what we need to focus on today. So, John, let's pull up Romans chapter 5. And this is what Paul wrote about this first Adam. He said about this first Adam, he said, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not charged against anyone's account where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam did, who is a pattern of the one to come. We're going to talk about the pattern of the one to come next Sunday. Today, we're talking about the first Adam and the problem with what took place. The first Adam, he chose disobedience and evil. You all know the story. He and Eve gave in to the wiles of the serpent who said, if you do this, you'll be like God. They said, looks good to me. So they did it. And once they did it, you'll notice in that story, everything changed. The relationship changed. We talked about this a couple of Sundays ago. The relationship between God and man changed. The relationship between man and all creation changed. The relationship of creation and God even changed. Everything changed. But inside of us, from this point on, something inside of every man, woman, boy, and girl, from the time of Adam and Eve to now, shifted. It was not a good shift. Something in each and every heart became something that was marred or injured or bruised, and in some cases, even literally stolen. That's what happened through the first Adam because of the choice that he made. And the fact is, this is so serious because our hearts are the very core of who we are. We talked about that last week whenever Dane said that Oswald Chambers came up with the simple definition of what is our heart, and it is who we are. It's me. And the problem is, inside us, our hearts have been attacked, injured, and bruised. And the problem is, we've even been complicit and added a lot to it. It's not like we can just say we're the victims. We've added to our own problem. From all this assault, our hearts became hard, calloused. Because this has been true for all people throughout all history. We've got a deep longing that we all share. Now, all this was the bad news, folks. The rest of what I'm going to share with you today is the good news. We all share a desire that has nothing to do with that. We all share a desire, a longing, that is a longing to be transformed into something that we don't think we are, into something better, into someone that can get it right. Someone who does not have to live with the same mistakes over and over and over again. Someone who is able to say no to the things we need to say no to. Who does not put ourselves in situations where we can be abused. We can be robbed. We can be mistreated. Everybody has within them a desire to be transformed. Everyone. I want to show you a clip in just a second. It's a Disney movie. You'll like it. But it's all about this. So John, why don't you cue that up? If you can get the lights in back there.
You came back.
Of course I came back. I couldn't let them. Oh, this is all my fault. If only I'd gotten here sooner.
Maybe. It's better. It's better this way.
Don't talk like that. You'll be all right. We're together now. Everything's going to be fine. You'll see.
And at least I got to see you one last time.
Please don't leave me. I love you. is you.
Mrs. Potts! Look at us!
Mama!
Mama! Oh, my goodness!
It is a miracle! Oh. Ah, l'amour.
Probably more than I want to go into here. But do you get what's going on in the story? And do you understand why the story speaks to you? In the story, there was a curse. What broke the curse? Love and sacrifice broke the curse. What happened when the curse was lifted? Transformation. People became what they were meant to be. There's all kinds of stories like this that we've all experienced and heard ever since the time we were kids. It's not just Beauty and the Beast. It's Pinocchio. Geppetto makes a puppet. The puppet somehow wants to become a real boy. What happens in the end of the story after many trials and tribulations? The puppet becomes a real boy. What Geppetto wished he was in the first place. What about Scrooge from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol? What happens to Scrooge at the end of the story after he has experienced the three spirits on Christmas? He becomes the man that he was always meant to be, that had been robbed from him because of the injuries that he had had in life. Think about it. The stories that have touched you have always been about transformation, to become what God wanted you to become in the first place. And the message that we have in the gospel is a message of transformation. God restoring that which He meant for us to enjoy and be in the first place. Stories. Mythical stories, childhood stories, they reveal that deep desire that we all share. If we're honest, most of us would have to say that at some point we've probably felt like we were the beast. We were the wicked stepsister. We were Scrooge. Bah, humbug. Most of the world's religions would also agree with that. Something in our hearts is wrong. We are not living the way that we were supposed to live. But we long for, our hearts cry out for, the change that will make us what we are not, but what we really believe we could be. We want it. We desire it. But our hearts are so marred, we can never get there ourselves. There's an image of God that is in every one of us. And it is that image of God that God desires to restore. And that's why we long for that, while we want it. They reflect God's truth. Transformation is at the core of our faith. It's God's message for us, and it's God's mission for us. Let's look at a couple of passages, because it's consistent in Scripture. John, let's get to that. John chapter 3. We know this. We quote it to other people probably most of the time whenever we talk to them about our faith. Jesus said to Nicodemus, says, now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him? And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless what? Born again." It is the need for transformation, for a heart change. Second passage. Oh, same one, a little bit farther. Nicodemus asked, "How can someone be born when they're old?" And Nicodemus asked, "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again." He's saying, you must be restored. You must be renovated. You must have your heart changed. You must. Let's look at another passage. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's another one that we share with people whenever we're talking to them about what God has done, what He wants to do. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here." Now, lest we think this is a one-time point, look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul writes here, he says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." All these passages point to the fact that because God knows and has known our situation, the brokenness and the messed up stuff that we swim in and that we create, it's always been His intention and always His desire that we be transformed and that those hearts that we have that are hardened be removed and replaced. So I want to tell you about a few other stories. These stories we would find in the pages of Scripture. The first story is the one that we sort of point to, and we call ourselves the Sycamore Church. It's the story of Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19. Is it 9 or 19? Let me look. I forget. Yeah, it's 19. We got it right. Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. His heart is about as warped as you can get. Okay? And all he wants to do is see this dude Jesus that he's heard people talking about. So he's about my size, and he decides he's going to climb up into a sycamore tree. He had enough dexterity to do that. And it got him high enough to where he could see Jesus. And then Jesus said he's passing by. You know the story. What does he say? "Get down here. I'm coming to hang out with you tonight. You. Something's happened in Zacchaeus' heart. He is transformed. And what does the tax collector say? "Everything I've stole, what am I going to do? Well, pay it back. And maybe even two or three times more than what I've stolen." Now, you want to find out if somebody's changed, you just go looking at their pocketbook. And for Zacchaeus, that's proof positive. Something had happened in his heart. He had a new heart. It changed. He changed. He was transformed. What about Mary Magdalene? I won't go into a whole lot of details, but we know the reputation that she had. She ends up being one of the most respected women in the whole of Scripture. That's not how she started. But she was transformed. She was changed. Her heart was different. She didn't go back to where she came from. Her whole direction in life was reoriented because her heart changed. What about the guy that I call Saul the Accuser? You know what ended up with him, right? He ended up writing most of that book that we revere and we love, because we know that God writes, has written through the hearts of people. Paul being one of them. He changed. God got a hold of him, stopped him literally on the road and put him in a different direction. One who would accuse, who would persecute, prosecute, sit in judgment over anyone who said they followed Jesus, and ends up being one of the greatest advocates for the gospel, the first true missionary. Heart change. life change, transformation, like these people that we read about in Scripture. We know that each one of us has either begun or needs a renovation from the inside out, a transformation. We have always longed for it, and we wait for it to be completed. Have you ever felt that? At night, when there's nobody else around, or you're in bed and you're sleeping, and if you're married, your spouse is there beside you. I know whenever I was a kid, my bedroom was in the basement, and I just stared up at the black ceiling, and I said, is this all there is? I was scared to death of death, because this is going to sound funny. I wouldn't be able to think what worked for me. My heart was hard. Our hearts are hard. We need that transformation. We need that. We long for it. Hang in there with me for a second. Regina said it this morning whenever we were talking, and she didn't even know that this was kind of where I was going to go. But we don't just need a facelift. We don't just need cosmetic surgery. We need a heart transplant. We need the heart of stone that's been so abused and so bruised that it's become calloused. And I've told you this before. I remember whenever I was in college, and I remember that I could watch a movie and get more emotional about a movie than I could get about my own life. That is an example of a hardened heart. Now, while I'm sitting there, while our worship team is up here singing, I'm pretty close to crying. I'm tearing up because I know what God's done for me. I know what's happened in my life. I know how I'm different. Do you long for that? Can you look back and see that God has been good and He has offered you and done this surgery in your life? And you know, surgery can be invasive, right? Quite frankly. So I guess if this transformation is something that you are longing for, why don't you experience it like God expects and desires for you to? Have you ever thought about that? Hold that thought. I get to preach next Sunday at 11. I'm going to talk a lot about that next Sunday at 11. Why is it we don't? But for now, this message today and what I've shared, I hope that it's sort of given you a desire that if there's something you feel like is missing, that you know your heart is a little harder than it ought to be, maybe it's real hard, that you want God to do something to your heart. You don't have to wait till next Sunday. God can do it now. He can do it tomorrow. He can do it Tuesday. He can do it any day of the week. All you have to do is be willing to give up your heart. Let your hard heart go. And let Him put within you a heart of flesh. He talks about that in Ezekiel 36. He says He'll do that if we'll just let Him. So I'm going to close. I'm going to pray. Dusty and Audrey and Dane and Kathy and Regina and I will be here. And, you know, if there's something that God's speaking to you about, something that you're struggling with, that's keeping your heart hard, we would love to pray with you about that. We'll pray with you about anything, but we'd love to pray with you about that. And, you know, you've got your cards. Those cards we try to give to you on the way in, you can put your request on there too. We'll pray with you. We do that faithfully. Because we want to be with you, we want to partner with you in what God's doing in your life. No fanfare today. There's no tap dance. It's just simplicity. We all want to be transformed. It's a part of who we are. We just have to let God do it. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for extending that grace and mercy and love to us through Jesus. And Lord, I'm praying that today that we will desire what Your intention is to restore us and make us who You want us to be, who You always intended for us to be. Lord, help us not to believe that being miserable is all there is, because that's a lie. Lord, help us to seek You, to live Your truth. Let us accept the heart that You have for us. Speak to us now. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I need our resident high chief. You want to introduce our special guest for the day? Oh, let me come back.
Yeah, good morning, all. I want to first of all thank you all for those that are present on Friday during the time that we had a wakekeeping for my mom. Thank you so much. But before here today is my father-in-law, Leslie's dad. Professor is also a triple chief, Professor Archelano. He's visiting with us from Mississippi, and he'll be with us for the week. So we're excited to have him and to listen to him and hear all those great words of wisdom. Hopefully by the time he leaves, we will grow up.
Please give us greetings.
Greetings to everybody. I am very delighted to be here and to commune with you. Yes, I live in Mississippi, Vicksburg. I came for the wakekeeping of my mother-in-law. I'm delighted that I was able to come, and I am pleased that my son-in-law brought me to your church today. Greetings to everybody, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's all stand. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to be with You today. Lord, I pray that throughout this week that we will be listening to Your voice, that, Lord, we would be searching You, and that, Lord, You would be speaking to us about the renovation You want to do and continue to do in our lives. Lord, we thank You that we have this great grace, this great gift that we've received through Jesus our Lord. Lord, let us find that we are Your hands and Your feet as we go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.